Welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pebray and Marielle Smith. Join us as we dive beyond the surface of our writing practice.
Hi Marielle.
Hey Lou.
Here we are, and you have picked a difficult subject. I feel talking about our failures.
You seemed quite reluctant when I suggested it.
Well, I had to choose, narrow it down from the masters of failures to the ones that might be most useful to talk about.
Well, there's a reason I wanted to talk about this is because for the last couple of weeks, as I try to kind of prepare for a break, actually, we're recording this. I'm on a break now. So as I was sort of preparing to slow things down, a lot of errors showed up around my books that I just needed to fix immediately. And I really thought it would be good to talk about it because I'm realizing that if the same failures or mistakes, it's just human errors, right? It's just not paying attention or whatever, or not double checking enough, stuff like that. I think 3 years ago, so it's about 3 years ago when I published my first nonfiction book. And I think that if all these errors that I've had been dealing with over the past 3-4 weeks had shown up 3 years ago, I really would be dealing differently with it than I'm doing now. Because like now you hear me laughing, right? And I have been laughing a lot. And I've even been sharing them like on Facebook in a, come on, let's all laugh at me because this is so ridiculous. And I even had a friend saying, I'm so glad you shared this because I just made a really bad spelling error in an email I sent to a bunch of people at my job. And I'm so embarrassed. I want to die. So I'm glad that I'm not alone. But this is the thing. Like I think 3 years ago when I made errors like this, and we'll just talk because I have multiple errors, multiple different, it's not just spelling errors and stuff, it's just really random things. And I think I would have want to sort of like crawl like under the blankets and just die of shame and tell myself that I had no business being an author because I fucked up. And I think it's funny to see that now I'm just like, oh, fuck, yeah, sure, okay, let's go in and fix that. I can't believe that I didn't see this or that it's taking me. In one case, I have an error in a book that was published on the 1st of January 2020, so that's before the pandemic. And I'm now realizing there's an error in the blurb and on the back description. So yeah, I just thought it would be good to talk through that. And I think especially for me, because it's such a stark contrast for me how I deal with it now, because I now cringe a little bit and then I just laugh and I go in and I change it.
It has no one pointed these errors out to you in that period of time.
No, the good thing is, I don't know if it's a good thing or what the thing is that all of these errors I've came across myself, except for the blurb one. That book is currently being translated to German. So the German translator flagged it as a potential error or like, is there a word missing? It was basically, I attached an apostrophe S, so a genitive, where there shouldn't be, like there was nothing genitive about the whole thing.
Okay, so as far as you know, no one else has noticed these errors. They may have, but as far as you're aware, they haven't.
Well, I'd rather think they just haven't. They just noticed it's because this is the thing, and this is something I've learned, and this is something I need to remind myself as well. Is that there's hardly any book out there without any errors.
That's true.
It's just, I mean, there is this meme that always sort of like flows like around on the internet. It says something like, so this is not exact. I wish I would have looking it up before we recorded, but it says something like, the best way to spot a spelling error is publish the book and 2 weeks later randomly open it at a random page.
Yes.
Like, that's the best way to find lingering spelling errors in your work. And I definitely think that is true, because you can't catch it all. But I think a lot of people assume that indie authors, they're the ones like, you know, they're the ones whose books have like tons of spelling mistakes, which of course is sometimes the case, because not all indie authors actually pay for editing.
That's true. Yeah.
But I used to teach from a book that was talking about public relations, but the book said pubic relations. So that's an academic book, which was like tons of money to buy. And that was just the most obvious mistake in the book. This book, a colleague of mine knows the author. So at one point I was like, should I just message him and give her like a list? But because it's a traditionally published book, I don't know how much control she has over that, because she's not in charge of her own editing process anyway.
No, probably not.
Yeah, so I'm like, maybe I shouldn't remind her that there's like tons of spelling mistakes in this traditionally published academic textbook.
I know, but that's one that's going to hit most people.
Well, the funny thing is that none of my students noticed it.
Because
I pointed it out in class and they were like, right. So they just read over it, because the chapter was talking about public relations.
So
it is true that once you're in a topic, you glance over a lot of things. But as editors, this is why some people make great editors and others don't. Some just stumble over all these tiny things. I'm one of the persons who stumbles across like, oh yeah, that letter should be there, or oh, there's something missing. But most people just read over it.
Yeah, the brain says what it's expecting to say.
Yeah, so it just fills in, right? Because you're familiar with the topic and you know what it's about. Yeah. So this one is simply, so this one, this was the last one, actually, I came across. The funny thing was, of course, is that when my translator flagged it, I was like, okay, thank you. This could be when I was sort of organizing the file for her to translate, that I just made an error, right? Like, I could have typed something where I shouldn't have. So I checked the file. Yes, there was the mistake. Then I looked on Amazon and I realized, oh no, it's also in the blurb, in the like the marketing description. I was like, oh, that's an easy fix. And then so I fixed that. And then I walked away and then I was like, but what if it's on the actual book? So I walked back into my office, took the book out of my bookcase and realized it's actually on the print copy. So that, of course, changed my afternoon, because that, and the funny thing is, I mean, I say funny, but I mean, 3 years ago, I wouldn't have thought it was funny, but now I think it's hilarious. I had just given these books to my virtual assistant to publish on different distributors, right? So it was no longer contained on Amazon. It meant that I had to go in everywhere.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Right?
Huge job.
And literally, she'd done that last month.
Oh, so if you'd have spotted it just a little bit earlier, it wouldn't be such a huge job.
Yes. So I was laughing about it, and I messaged my translator saying, oh God, it's everywhere. It's not just in the file I sent you. And she's like, I'm so sorry that I brought it up. I wish I hadn't seen it. And I was like, no, like it's great. It's been out there for over 2.5 years. But I'm like, what? Like, can you imagine that somebody is translating your work and they're like, oh, this looks sad. This looks like a lot of work to fix this. I'm just going to ignore it. I'm like, no, I'm really glad you did. Like, it took me a couple of hours, but now it's all fixed. But yeah, I think maybe 3 years ago, I would have wished she hadn't seen it, so I wouldn't know about it.
Yeah.
And then I could just ignore it. But yeah, it's different, these. So that was only the last one. That happened, I think, last Thursday. Oh,
so you've come a long way then in those 3 years.
Yeah, and I think that's why I wanted to talk about it, because I'm sure that there's people who are in a different part of the journey, who still, like, it's not that I don't cringe, right, or yell a little at myself. So another thing I did, and that is really bad, like, I was really embarrassed about that, is that I've redone my Spanish books. I had them retranslated because the first translation wasn't up to, wasn't good. So I got another translator to redo them. And so the translator made a mistake. Like, in the file, she translated the subtitle differently in two ways. So when I got that, I just removed, like, I changed it, right? I'm like, oh, this one is closer to the original meaning, so I'm picking this one, right?
Right.
But apparently when I had made the covers, like the mock-up covers, I had to use the other subtitle. So when I was ready to publish, I didn't check that. So the ebooks were out with the right subtitle on the cover, but all the paperbacks were out with the wrong subtitle. And that was coincidentally also a book my virtual assistant just uploaded everywhere last month.
Oh, no.
So that was, and that for me was like, and I was a bit surprised that the sales were lacking, like that they were lagging. I was like, I expected more sales from the new edition.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, yeah, if I'm on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or whatever you get your books, like, I mean, they can, my books can be sold, can be ordered through any local bookshop these days. When I was online, that there's a book here with it, which has a title on the cover, and then the description says something else, I would also be very confused. Like, is this the same book? Like, what is this? Yeah. So completely get that. But that was actually one I had to share on Facebook, because I was like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. But at the same time, I want other people to know that, you know, I've been doing this for quite a while and I still make these ridiculous mistakes, and you don't die.
No.
Right? Like, it takes a couple of hours of your time to fix it all.
And it doesn't mean that you're useless at putting books out.
No, it just means for me that if something happened like that, like when I first noticed that there was sort of a discrepancy between the translation of the title within the same document, I should have made a note, not a mental note, but an actual note.
Yeah.
And put it somewhere saying, like, just before you publish, double check that you got the title right.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's so many things to remember as well, isn't there? That it's easy to forget one or two.
Yeah. And I had the same with other books. That were my virtual assistant uploaded to, you know, Ingram Spark. And the thing with Ingram Spark is that you have to pay a fee to upload them. So if you make a mistake in the file that you upload, you have to pay the fee again.
Yeah, to correct it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I am a member of the of Ally, the Alliance for Independent Authors.
Yes.
So I can fix it 5 times a month. I get a code. Right. So I pay, instead of, because I think it's $49 if it's $49 to publish a book on a paperback on Ingram Spark, and the fee for Ally is, or Ally, I don't know how they pronounce that, is 99 something. I want to say maybe euros because she's in Ireland. But I don't know, it could be dollars, could be pounds, I don't know. So that is fine, right? It's like,
yeah.
So this month I had 2 out of 3 books I had to re-upload again, because simply because there was an error in it. There was still an error in it that I had noticed and then forgot to fix before handing the file over to my VA. So that was my third thing. I was like, that doesn't happen a lot, but I didn't write it down because I thought I'll remember that.
Yeah.
So as I was looking through the proofs, I was like, wait, did I change this thing? And then I scrolled to the right page and I realized, no, I did not change this thing. So that was more frustrating, because of course I usually find at 11 p.m. when I'm already telling myself I need to go to bed.
And you have to do it immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. And once I know that the mistake is out there, I do want to fix it immediately. Yeah. So that was two books for me that went in just simply because I didn't double check certain errors before I uploaded it. And the thing is that this is just double checking, because this could have been could have cost me $100.
Well, you don't know how much it costs you in sales either.
Well, it's so these were like internal things.
Okay. So that
was, yeah, they were really minor things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think anyone would have actually noticed it, but I would have known.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was fun. And the last one, and then I want to go over to your recent mistakes. Mm. And this one was maybe the most embarrassing, I think. Because most of the books I uploaded myself, so I did the proofs myself, so I cannot blame my virtual assistant for this. When you upload to Barnes & Noble, when you upload a cover, you don't include the barcode. But that is, with some like Amazon, you don't have to include the barcode. IncomeSpark, you do have to include the barcode. These are the things that I keep forgetting. Like, I have a list, I'm looking at it now, I now have a list, because KDP, so Amazon, recently changed how to upload a PDF of your book. Like, the margins have changed.
Okay.
Which I didn't email about. That was just, you know, I realized that when I was uploading a new book. So I now wrote down, like, okay, so KDP doesn't want you to include any margins anymore. Barnes & Nobles, no. IncomeSpark, yes. So that means when I publish one book, I need multiple files with different dimensions, basically.
Of course.
Yes. So I'm going to do the same on the same list. I'm going to write down the barcode rules, because apparently on Barnes & Noble, half of the books I've uploaded without a barcode on the cover and the other half with a barcode. But of course, the barcode is not on the same spot where Barnes & Noble put their barcode. So it looks ridiculous. And in my case, in some books, my tarot books, because they're like smaller, so there's less space, the Barnes & Noble barcode actually overlaps some of the text on the back. So I had to go through all of them, like check the proofs again of the covers, and like make a list, like, okay, this one's fine, this one's not fine. And I had to sort of like upload like a bunch of new covers. Yeah, so that was, this was much for me. Like, I sometimes, you know, you catch an error, but this was like a lot. I felt like I was putting out little fires everywhere.
And it all came at once as well.
That's my point. Like, I'm used to like every quarter, maybe I spot a mistake and I'm like, ouch. And then I just change everything. And this time around, I was like, come on. Like, what is this? Like, why is it all getting, like, why does it all come to my attention now? Like, is there a reason this all needs to be smoothed out and fixed? Like,
yeah. Maybe it is one of those tests that the universe sends you to see whether you can maintain your composure throughout a catalogue of small disasters.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like I said, like, it did show me that I've come a long way from, you know, wanting to cry and think, I need to stop writing because I can't do this shit.
Yeah.
But also I'm getting ready to do a Kickstarter campaign, which invites different kind of audience to your work.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering whether part of it is just, you know, making sure that my back catalog is like in tip-top shape.
Okay.
I'm wondering whether that's part of it. Yeah. But I think for me, the main takeaway for me personally is that I can now laugh about it and don't get in one of those spirals that I'm useless and I can't do this and this is so embarrassing. And what if people find out? Like, these days I'm much more willing to share because I know that other people might actually feel that they're still dying from embarrassment when these things happen.
Yeah, or it's only them and not everyone.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, like I've been doing this for quite a while now. And it's and the thing is, I think at the very beginning, I wasn't as known as an editor. So I kind of felt like if I make like a spelling error, this reflects on my abilities as an editor, right? Mm. But we all know that you cannot edit your own text.
Yeah.
So, and all my work is edited by someone else.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, I think that was part of the embarrassment for me. So I thought it sort of like invalidated my day job.
Yeah. Which is a scary place to be.
Yes. Yeah. And these days I'm much more, I have embraced that I cannot edit my own work. It's very simple. I don't make as many mistakes as some other authors will make, but generally there will be some silly things like a random apostrophe S that has no reason being there.
Yeah. Yeah. They sneak in.
Yes. And even like my translator didn't catch it either. My translator did catch it. My editor didn't catch it either. So. Yeah.
Well,
so those are all my recent mistakes and how I've dealt with it.
Well, when you asked to talk about this subject, I was thinking much more, not that sort of detail. I mean, I don't know that there will be errors, won't there, in the stuff that I've published, but I'm not aware of them, so they're still there if anyone spots them. And I put a novella out wide, but the other stuff, Amy's done, so it's over to her really. So when you brought this subject matter up, I thought about when I started writing, and I thought about all the time I've wasted. And money, kind of, you know, getting involved with the indie community, which is wonderful, and there are loads and loads of benefits to that. But there's also lots of things being sold. So, you know, in order to make a living, lots of people from the indie community also sell services or sell marketing stuff. Or how to sell your book, how to get it up there, how to write a novel, all sorts of whatever you want is out there. And it's good quality stuff, the majority of it, from what I can see. But I think that when I first started, it was all a bit overwhelming. And the temptation is to go, yeah, I'll have that, I'll do that course, and I'll do that course, and I'll do that course, without really thinking about, well, how many books have you written? How many books have you got out there? What do you actually need? Do you need to know it all? And do you need to know it all now? Because it changes. That's the other thing. How you successfully sell today isn't going to be how you successfully sell in a few months. So I think that I wasted a lot of time just spending time focusing on those things when I should have just been focused on writing. So I think that's one mistake I made. I mean, it's not that it's a total waste either, because you do meet other people through it as well, even if it's online. So there's that element. And also listening to lots of podcasts. I used to listen to loads of writing podcasts, and writing podcasts are wonderful. But they're all... They can take your focus sometimes.
Yeah.
From what you need to do. Yeah,
but I feel, because I still know people who listen to many more author podcasts than I do.
Mm.
So I sometimes feel that, like, oh, I'm not listening to this particular podcast. And I always like, so when the there's now a duo in the indie world who are doing lots around Kickstarter, they have a new podcast. I was like, oh God, do I have to listen to that too?
Yeah. But
of course, now I am preparing my own Kickstarter campaign. Yes, I started listening to the podcast during Doing the Dishes because it's really relevant for me right now.
Yeah.
But I think you nail it there. Like you hit it on the nail. You hit it on the, what is it?
You hit the nail on the head.
Yes. Yeah. When you said it's very much about asking yourself, like, what do I need right now? If you need self-editing tips, like, we are not the people you need to listen to.
Yeah.
But if you struggle with like author mindset, all that kind of thing, like, then we are maybe the people to listen to. So it's very much like, I remember when at one point my brother was talking about investing in like my publishing business. And he was very much thinking like, if I just like pay you to enroll like one of those ad courses, right, that will help you. And you will pay, like, so, you know, then you'll sell more books and you can pay me back or whatever. But when I look at these courses, like, I'm very aware that I'm in a very particular genre. And a lot of the things that are being taught are not relevant for me. Like, I a lot of it is focused on ebooks. I earn most of my money through print.
Yeah.
Because I sell journals, right? So it's the same in the Going Wide Facebook group. I don't know if you're in there.
No, I'm not in that one.
Okay. Well, in that one, there's three people who offer, and they're like, they run the group, right? So it's not like they're random, like they know what they're doing, right? So I'm not saying their advice is going to be really spot on. And I definitely think the investment is worth it to do like an hour session with them and go through catalog and see where you can improve in certain areas. Like, for example, if you fail to sell books on Google, why, they can give you the right kind of information that you need to get that going. But for me, I was like, I definitely want to do it. And I don't think it's expensive. I don't think it's a lot of investment, right? Because these people really know their stuff. Mm. But when I look at their credentials, I look at, okay, so how much do these people know about nonfiction print books?
Yeah.
So I've decided, because I've been telling myself I'm going to book one of those sessions with one of them. And so I've decided now I'm not going to do that until all my ebooks are also as wide as I can get them.
Yeah.
Because then I can see what are my sales actually doing when my whole catalog is available. So I think it would have been a mistake if when it was really hip, like let's say in October, like everybody was trying to book an appointment with these people. And I think they were booked until like February.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I wanted to. And I was like, no, maybe it's good for me to wait because I don't have. So I think it would have been a mistake if I'd done it then.
And the temptation is to run around trying to do that. So I did one of Mark Dawson's courses, and it was, I can't remember which one now, but it was basically, you know, about getting a mailing list and all very useful stuff, putting all that together. But then I've not really had, it's about me looking at my own circumstances and going, actually, you've got a day job, you've got a lot of commitments, you've got dogs. How much time have you got to write and to do your marketing and to do your social media? And maybe it's about waiting until you've got something to sell, first of all.
Yeah, I think that, like, there's people who are asking, because I think Ads for Authors, Mark Dawson's course, has just opened up again, so you can enroll now. And there's people asking, I'm writing my first book.
Yeah.
Does it make sense with the course now? No, just write the first book. And because you're writing your first book, so how about you first go through the first eight versions of it?
Yeah.
Finish it. Figure out how to publish it, because that's a really steep learning curve as well.
Yes. And then the course will have been changed, because he will have updated his course to take account of the current situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So that's a really good, I would say it's like, quote unquote, it's a mistake.
Mm.
Because I do think you've learned a lot from it. And like you said, you also interact with certain people.
Yeah. But if I was giving the advice to myself, if I went back, I'd say just hold off. Stop trying to run before you can walk, and, you know, get those books. Make sure that you've got your writing skills there, and get that done.
Yeah, I think a lot of focus is on the selling.
Mm.
And I'm like, you do need something to sell, because otherwise, and I'm really glad, because like I said, like I'm preparing a Kickstarter now. So now I look at my backlog and I'm like, my back catalog. Sorry. And I'm like, yeah, I actually have lots of books that I can offer while I'm trying to sort of like raise money to get this little project done.
Yeah,
I can sell all my other books.
Yeah.
So it's you do need something.
And you've got credibility as well, because you're going to need credibility, aren't you, for anyone to invest in. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, of course, like if you've shown that you've published so many books, they're going to believe that, oh, okay, so this book that I'm investing. I mean, the thing for me is that I'm not actually, that this is a mistake that I've not made, but I've seen other people make, is that they put stuff on Kickstarter that isn't ready yet.
Right.
So yeah. I am going to make sure that the book, it's actually a book and a card deck. So I'm going to make sure that it's finished or almost finished. Like I might not have seen the print proofs yet.
Yeah.
Before I actually start the Kickstarter, because that's like my worst nightmare, that you earn, that you raise money for something and then you don't finish it.
Yeah, you need to be able
and
to
then, deliver. And then there's tension, right? It's no longer fun and creative.
Yeah.
Now you owe people stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, I need to finish these things before I actually start the Kickstarter. Yeah. So that would be, I've seen people do that and now they struggle finishing things because they thought, oh, let's just do this. Let's just offer this for like $1. That's like to lure people in. And now they're like, oh, this project, this thing I had in my mind is expanding and now it's taking me forever to finish.
Yeah.
Then they're going to finish it and it's going to be awesome quality. But you really have to consider, okay, can I actually make this? And how long is it? Or is it smart to make this before I offer it?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make everything before I offer it.
Yeah. Oh.
But that's also, I think, self-awareness, because I know that once I've raised money for something, like I don't really want, like I'm done.
Mm.
Right, like my creative process is over. Like I've shown it to the world, people have bought it, I'm done. And if I then still have to finalize it, I think that's going to be really hard for me. But other people get a kick out of that.
Mm. Or it motivates them to finish something.
Yeah, and for me, it's like, I don't think that's, I haven't tried it, but I think that's a very difficult, or that's a dangerous thing for me to try.
Yeah.
I know how my inspiration and energy works.
And the pressure.
The pressure as well. Yeah, as soon as there's pressure, I'm out. So, Okay, so before we call it a day, anything else that you've been thinking of?
No, only one mistake that I might be just jumping into. So Marcus, my husband, wants to write a book.
Oh,
well, he wants me to write the book. He wants to plot it and he wants me to write it. So I've said we can play with this because he's run the idea past me. And then I've added, you know, the stuff that writers know about tension and having an antagonist versus a protagonist and character and all that. And he's saying, well, you're good at what I'm not good at, and I'm good at what you're not good at. So therefore, it might be good.
Mm-hmm.
But so this is just something I've agreed to play with rather than commit to. But I'm not sure whether it's going to be a mistake or not.
We're gonna figure that one out in a couple of months, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
But will he also do, because I did that when I was co-writing, like I did the plot, or I drafted the plot, and we discussed the plot together. I fleshed it out more. She wrote the first draft. I edited it, beta readers. She went through the comments and did another draft. I edited it, another round. So is he also gonna edit around, or is it just he plots and then it's up to you?
No, I think he'd be good at editing. I think, as in, he knows what he likes because he reads a lot. So I think he probably will be fairly good at editing in a different way, in a non-professional way. But okay, yeah. He has good ideas as well. So I think that might work.
Okay, well, I'm very curious because you hate plotting, so that might be really great.
I know.
This might be your save. It might save you.
It might do. Yeah, we'll see. It's just a bit of something to play with, but I did think we might be getting divorced as well. You never know.
Yeah, so be careful. Be very careful. I mean, I've lost friendships over them beta reading my novels, so.
Oh, gold.
Be careful.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
That was another mistake. I bounced back from it. Okay. So enough talk about mistakes?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I will talk to you soon. And I'm really curious to hear how this story is going to end.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.